We're going to be looking at two disciples this week. And so Tammy, where's Tammy? Tammy's going to bring our readings to us this morning. John chapter 1 and then Matthew chapter 9.
I am reading from the book of John chapter 1, verse 43 to 50. The theme of this reading is called, Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come with me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of law and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael asked. Come and see, answered Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, he is a real Israelite. There is nothing false in him. Nathanael asked him, how do you know me? Jesus answered, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. Teacher, answered Nathanael, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under the fig tree? You'll see much greater things than this. I am now reading from Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. The theme of this reading is called, Jesus Calls Matthew. Jesus left that place, and as he walked along, he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting in his office. He said to him, follow me. Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having a meal in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and other outcasts came and joined Jesus and the disciples at the table. Some Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such people? Jesus heard them and answered, people who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. Go and find out what this meant by the scripture that says, it is kindness that I want, not animal sacrifices. I've not come to all respectable people, but to outcasts. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. So, who was here last week that can remember which two disciples we looked at last week?
Philip and Peter.
So, we've already sung the 12 disciples song. This might be a bit of a tricky one, but who can guess which 12 disciples we're looking at? No, not 12. Two. There are only 12. Which two disciples we're looking at today? Matthew and Nathanael. But Nathanael wasn't in the song. Do you know why Nathanael wasn't in the song? Anyone know whose name was in the song? Bartholomew. Yeah, Bartholomew, Richard. Not Judas Iscariot. Very good. Now, if you look at Matthew and Mark and Luke's description of the calling of the 12 disciples, they name Bartholomew. John's Gospel doesn't name Bartholomew, but it is widely thought that when you look at this story of Philip and Nathanael, that Nathanael is the same person as Bartholomew. So we're looking at Bartholomew today, but we're looking at this encounter with Nathanael, and we'll be calling him Nathanael. So we're going to look at what we can learn from these two men. And while some of us do that, if there are any younger children, you're going to be trying to remember the names of the 12 disciples by doing some creative things about the 12 disciples. So if there are younger children and they want to go over there. So as they're doing that, we're going to have a look at what we can learn from what we know of Matthew and what we know of Bartholomew or Nathanael. Now, earlier on, we found out how well two pairs of people really knew each other. And Grace and Sophie knew each other quite well. Dom and Hannah, very impressive. I wonder who would be the person that you would say knows you better than anybody. I wonder who you would think of would be that person. I've got to say that my best friend Dee knows me so well. Dee and I have a lot in common. We like the same things. Now, that's great when we're buying Christmas presents and birthday presents. Because when I buy her a present, I just have to choose something I know I really like, And I know she'll really like it too. It's not so great when you're choosing clothes, because it has happened a couple of times that we have turned up to the same place at the same time in the same outfit. The first time was when we were in our late teens and we turned up at church, and I was at the front of the church. I was leading worship that week. Dee walked in and just stood at the back, and we looked at each other because we had exactly the same outfit on. But nobody went home and changed. We decided it was a good thing. Dee knows me really well, but we don't just like the same things. She always knows how I really am, even without me telling her. And it's great if you've got a friend like that who knows you really well. And as we reflect on these two disciples this morning, I think one of the first things that we can see is that they both discovered that Jesus knew them really well. Jesus knew everything about them. We heard in verse 27 in John's Gospel that when Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, "Here is a real Israelite. There's nothing false in him." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." Jesus knew Philip. He knew who he was. He knew the kind of person he was. He knew everything about him. And Philip was absolutely amazed that Jesus had this information about him. I think there can be times for all of us in life when we feel like nobody really understands how we feel. But Jesus always does. Just like Jesus knew Nathanael, so Jesus knows you and me. He sees us wherever we are. He knows what we are like. He even knows what we're thinking. When we feel like nobody else notices, Jesus does. There is nothing that we do that goes overlooked by him. Every kind word, every good gesture, every little thing, Jesus sees them all. And he knows how we feel. Jesus knew Nathanael, and Jesus knew Matthew too. We heard that as Jesus was walking along, he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting in his office. And he said to him, "Follow me." Now, being a tax collector would not have made Matthew very popular. Matthew was probably a cheat, someone who was selfish and greedy, out to get what he could from other people. Now, that's probably why when Jesus went to his house for a meal, the rest of the guests were also tax collectors and other outcasts. Nobody else would have wanted to know Matthew. He didn't have any other friends. Nobody, that is, except for Jesus. Jesus knew everything about Matthew, what he did, what people didn't like about him, and yet he still said, "Follow me." There's a story of a trial that took place in a small town where the whole town gathered to watch. The lawyer prosecuting called his first witness, an elderly woman, to the stand. He approached her and he asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She replied, "Yes, I know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy. And frankly, you've been a disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat, you manipulate people and you talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot, but you haven't the brains to realise you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defence lawyer?" She replied, "Of course I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was young too. In fact, I used to babysit him. He too has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, narrow-minded, and has a drink problem.
The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the shoddiest I've ever seen. Yes, I know him. At this point, the judge rapped the courtroom to silence and called both lawyers to the bench. In a quiet voice, he said with menace, "If either of you ask if she knows me, I'll hold you both in contempt of court." There are times when we want to be known well, and we want people to understand us. And there are times when we don't. There are times for all of us when we try and hide things. Things we don't like. Things that maybe we're ashamed of. Things that we would like to change. What we learn from the stories of Nathaniel and Matthew is that Jesus knows us. He knows all about us. The stuff we're proud of, and the things we regret or wish we could change. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And despite what we know and think of ourselves, Jesus loves us just as we are. That doesn't mean to say that Jesus is happy with the things that we've done wrong or with the attitudes that we have that aren't very nice. But they aren't a barrier for him. Jesus loves us. He knows us and he accepts us for who we are. And he can forgive the things that we've done wrong and help us to rebuild our lives and live in a better way. Jesus loves us completely, no matter what. How amazing is that? So a few moments ago, we were reflecting on the fact that Jesus knows us, he knows everything about us, and yet he loves us. But these aren't just truths that Jesus wants us to understand in our heads. If we truly grasp them, then we need to respond too. And firstly, that means that we need to be ready to accept his love and his acceptance for us. Now that's easy to say, but often it isn't always easy to do. There are times for all of us when we find it hard to be loved. Yes, we can say Jesus loves us. Yes, we can say that Jesus loves the whole world. But Jesus loves me when I know what I'm really like. Sometimes we think we don't deserve that love, and then our pride kicks in and we harden ourselves to the love that Jesus offers us. You know, I think it must have taken real courage for Matthew to accept Jesus' love and acceptance of him. For years, Matthew had been the bad guy, the one that nobody else liked. So what would people think of him now? See, there was a security in Matthew being who he was, with that kind of reputation. Now he had no idea how people would react to him. Those people who didn't like him, who didn't think much of him, who thought he was a cheat, would they see that Jesus could change his life? What would their opinion be now? How would they treat him? And what about those that he did hang around with, the other tax collectors, the outcasts? What would they do now to him, now that he'd turned his back on being a tax collector and walked away to follow Jesus? What Matthew did in following Jesus took real courage. But then you need courage if you are going to dare to be a disciple. Deep down, Matthew knew he wasn't just responding to Jesus' offer of acceptance. There was more to Jesus than this. He wanted to know Jesus the way that Jesus knew him. Nathanael's response was different to Matthew's, but was equally as courageous. On hearing how Jesus had seen him under the fig tree, we heard that Nathanael responded saying, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What an amazing declaration to make. Jesus knew who Nathanael was, and suddenly Nathanael knew who Jesus was too. "You are the Son of God," he said. Jesus knows you and Jesus loves you, but he also wants you to know him not just as the best friend you could ever have, but also as the Son of God. He wants you to recognize that he is more than a good man and a wise teacher. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Son of the living God who came to bring God's kingdom into being and to bring us into his family. He is that miracle worker, even today. And he is more powerful than anyone or anything in this world. And Jesus wants you to dare to be a disciple, to follow him and to trust him, because he does know you better than you know yourself, and because he wants you to learn to walk with him through the whole of your life. Jesus knows you and Jesus loves you, but he wants you to accept his love for you and to know and love him too. So my question to you this morning, will you dare to be a disciple and follow him? Loving God, we want to thank you for your amazing love for us. Thank you that you do know us better than we know ourselves. Thank you that you love us for who we are. Lord, how amazing it is that there is nothing that we can do to make you love us anymore. And this morning we want to say sorry for the times we've hardened our hearts to your love. And we ask that you will forgive us and soften our hearts. Help us to receive your love, your forgiveness, and your acceptance of us. Help us to be able to look into your eyes and know your love for ourselves and to respond to you, not just as our faithful friend, but as our Saviour and our Lord. And help us to dare to be disciples and follow you wherever that might lead us, and trust in you, whatever the cost. In Jesus' name, amen.